Does your antiperspirant keep you dry all day? Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray goes on instantly dry for a cleaner feel and offers 48 hours sweat and odor protection. Let me repeat that. 48 hours of sweat and odor protection. Use it and don't even think about it. Also, Dove Men Dry Spray contains Dove's unique one-quarter moisturizing cream that helps protect your skin. Try Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray. Goes on dry. Clean feel all day.
Gentlemen, get ready for the
Rich Eisen Show.
Love it. Love it.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I played in the Pac-10 and now coached in the Pac-12, and now it's going to be the Pac.
The Rich Eisen Show.
We'll see. But the longer-term implications, no one has any idea.
Earlier on the show, Pro Football Hall of Famer Kurt Warner. Coming up, Super Bowl winning head coach Bruce Arians. ESPN College Game Day analyst Desmond Howard. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Boy, in hour one, did we just chop up the whole Jimmy Garoppolo staying with the Niners to back up Trey Lance story that broke yesterday after we went off the air. If you missed any of it, it's sitting there on our YouTube page where many people are watching us live right now. We say hello to our youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show viewers. We say hello to those listening coast to coast on the Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio network, over 50 affiliates and growing, and we are thrilled about that. We say hello to our Odyssey listeners, and a reminder that we're heading to Roku coming in September, which if I'm not mistaken starts Thursday. So in September, we're going to be moving our show. It's not going to be this Thursday. We'll be on our YouTube stream for the rest of this week for sure. And then once we are on the Roku channel, Roku devices, that's how you can watch us for free on the Roku channel. Samsung Smart TVs, that's how you can watch us on the Roku channel for free. Fire TVs, that's how you can see if you get the theme here. Watch us on the Roku channel for free. You can, on any mobile device, get the Roku app. Guess what's for free on the Roku app? The Roku channel. You want to watch us on a desktop? We got so many people when we announced our move to the Roku channel. But I watch you at work, and I'm like, okay, two things. One, the RokuChannel.com will stream us for free. And two, you're telling your boss you're not paying full attention to your gig. There'll be no waffle party for you. It's free coming in September. That's a little severance. You got that one? You picked up on that?
Okay,
very good.
0.0.
That's how much it costs. Thank you, Dean Wormser. Greatly appreciate that. Chris Brockman, good to see you over there,
Rich,
sir. How are
great
you?
Great to be seen. What up, what up?
Jay Felly with the drops.
Hey, what's up, Rich?
Someone who listens to the show sitting next to us.
Isn't that amazing? It is amazing.
It's really amazing.
It is amazing. TJ Jefferson, how are you over there? Oh, my goodness.
What's cracking?
I need to hear this. Nice. It's like Master Key over there. It's like Master Key. I need to hear this, sir. And I know you don't usually, you know, take things and say it with your chest and whatever. You're very low key. I want the cowboy fan in you that you used to be when you used to clap back at people, okay? Mm-hmm. Not the you need to be provoked in order to be clapping back.
Why
at
do you
people.
Want to start something with me?
I want the cowboy fan opinion of Jimmy G being re-signed by the San Francisco 49ers the backup. This is the team that one and done you. This is the team that showed up and apparently intimidated the Cowboys in their own house. This is that team that it now has this on their lap, on their plate. You now have the floor, Dallas Cowboy fan TJ Jefferson. Please.
Okay, if I'm keeping it G real with you as a Cowboys fan,
yes, sir.
I don't care.
Like, let me
explain to you, as I've always said about being a Cowboy fan. Cowboy fans usually care about our team. We don't care about anyone else's. So that's how I feel. Now, if you're asking me as someone who sits here and works with you guys and has to have an opinion on this, I'll say this. We always hear about the backup quarterback being so, you know, this is a very important position, especially if you've got a good team.
Yes.
So I sit here and I listen to all this, and I know that there's a salary discrepancy and all of that. But the fact of the matter is you're in a better position having him on your team than not having him on your team. So I look at it as the Niners, it's a problem, it's a conundrum, but I'd rather have that type of problem than have no clue who my backup quarterback is. That's just how I feel.
And
I understand that there's, like I said, issues when, you know, this guy's looking over his shoulder, whatever, whatever.
That's where having him on your team is not to your benefit. Having him on your team as opposed to Seattle is to your benefit. Having him on your team in case Lance gets hurt so you don't turn things over to Nate Sudfeld and you still have a chance to win the Super Bowl because you've got a guy who's played in the Super Bowl for you and the locker room loves, that's to your benefit. If it's to your benefit long-term for Trey Lance to work out and Jimmy G's there to make him look over his shoulder or make him look less than because Jimmy G comes in and says, hey, everybody, Niner Nation, hey, everybody in the locker room, veterans who have wanted Jimmy G to start, that's how this can look. It looks much easier when the veteran knows what's what. So that's when it's not to your benefit. And that's where I would think a Cowboy fan would say, well, you know, it's been a while since Dak displaced Romo. We haven't had to deal with this for a while.
Yeah, I mean,
that's what I'm saying. But if that's your approach,
like I said, as a Cowboys fan, a fan of the Cowboys, not my problem. We got our own issues. As someone who talks about this, that's kind of how I feel. I'd rather have that problem than have a problem where your backup is, you know, Joe Schmo.
Nate Sudfeld. So.
I didn't want to put him down like that.
Cooper
Rush got cut.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Cowboys, one quarterback on the roster right now. I'm sure that'll change.
It's going to change.
Jimmy G?
It's Dak Prescott. And that's
Are you serious?
Yeah.
They cut Cooper Rush? Who are they going to sign?
Probably Cooper Rush.
No, they're going to sign that kid Strebler that the Jets are going to cut?
I don't know.
Wait a second. I did not. Was I aware of that? I thought that Ben DiNucci got cut. But you're right. We only do technically have one.
They both got cut, yeah.
What are they doing?
Probably just waiting for the roster.
I think it'll be
out.
Will Greer, to
Maybe
be honest with you.
Tyler Smith will start there, too. He's going to protect Enthro.
Apparently, teams are inquiring Pittsburgh about Mason Rudolph.
That could be the one there,
but
too.
They are not budging at the moment.
That could be that one, too. If Mason Rudolph's available, I would go get him if I'm the Dallas Cowboys, although he doesn't run the same offense that Dak Prescott did. Man. If you're a Dallas Cowboy fan as well, I would be genuinely concerned.
How about them Cowboys?
I would be genuinely concerned about the team in Philadelphia. I've been talking myself into the Eagles being the team to beat in the NFC Eastern Conference. I even said when Tyron Smith went down, I'm going to call my shot and say the Eagles are going to win the division. That's what I said. And then today they go ahead and get Chauncey Gardner-Johnson from the New Orleans Saints. Yep. And they flip a fifth next year and the worst of the two sixth-round picks in 2024 for a guy who is not only a plug-and-play defensive back, but somebody who I think Philadelphia is going to love because he just can't stop running his mouth. The number of times that he gets hit by an opponent, swung at by an opponent while he's wearing his helmet means what's coming out of his helmet is so much sauce. I think Philly's going to love him on the back end of that secondary that just keeps getting better and better with the young Bulldogs that they got on both first two levels of the defense and the rest of that team with A.J. Brown on it and the way that they run it. It's all on Jalen Hurts there, isn't it? If Jalen Hurts can take that step forward and continue on in the NFL as a quarterback with ascending arrows pointing up, that's another team that suddenly becomes a little bit more fascinating. I think that's a neat pickup for August 30th, to say the least, sir.
I think so, too. Eagles.
Eagles have a hell of a roster. Howie Roseman's put a hell of a roster. They have been watering and fertilizing that roster. Nick Sirianni's got a nice team in front of him.
Oh, dream team.
No, don't do that, man. Don't do that.
Didn't work out for those.
That's not cool. That was mere days after the lockout ended. And
after they got
different
nominated.
Though. This is different though. That was just a bunch of all-star parts
from
that looks like some of my fantasy teams where I'm drafting guys who were great 3 years ago. Oh my God, he's available in the third round. Let me take him.
Right.
That's the way that team was put together.
I know, but it's such a great quote.
Right?
Yeah.
For Chip Kelly, if I'm not mistaken.
Play it again.
Right? Was it Chip Kelly back then, or was it back end or Andy Reid? Who was it in 2011? Who was the Eagles coach in 2011 for the Dream Team?
Oh, Dream Team.
No, don't do that. Don't do that, man.
2011.
Yeah, do it again, Jay.
2011 Eagles was Andy Reid.
Andy Reid, back end of the Reid administration. Okay.
Yeah, that was his second to last year. Yeah, 12 was his last year.
I don't know. I like the Eagles even more. I like that pickup. The Saints just like, here's a plug-and-play secondary member. Member of our secondary, let's just send him out.
I drafted A.J. Brown, so I'm also in on the Eagles this year.
Let's go back to the phone lines here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let us go to Jay in Michigan. You're here on the program. What's up, Jay?
I just wanted to talk about the whole Trey Lance thing again, because I think really what it's about is mostly it's about being able to trade Jimmy. Because really, like, the two reasons he wasn't traded was because of his shoulder surgery and the fact that he's $26 million on the cap. So I feel like in making all that cap go down, it makes him, the insurance is, yeah, like, if Trey gets hurt, he can come in. But also that if another team really needs Jimmy, then he's there for them, because they couldn't really trade for him at most of the points in time because they wanted other players, or like now they don't have salary cap.
So that makes sense, but he's also got a no-trade clause, so it's going to have to be to where he wants to go, which I imagine would have been the case if, I don't know, he had the opportunity to go seek that out, and anybody who was making these trades for him would have had the ability to figure out what salary he would be paid, and I don't think he would take that pay cut if he knew he was getting traded to a team where he would start. That's not starter's money. That's tremendous backup money. So I don't know. I mean, but then again, thanks, Jay, for the call. I mean, who the hell knows? I didn't see him staying coming. So him signing to stay only to be sent out, I wouldn't see that coming either. They made the decision. It's smarter to have him back up Trey Lance than Nate Sudfeld. It's smarter to have him on the team than cut him and watch him show up somewhere that can go hurt you or make your rival better, save their quarterback room bacon. And then you're the coach, and basically you say, Jimmy, if you're up for doing this, you're the backup. You got to help Trey. And if you know, obviously, if he gets hurt, you're our starter. And if he struggles, I don't know what that looks like, but we're still not putting you in there. Are you fine with that? I imagine that story could be told to him. But again, the way I started the program, it's really on Trey Lance. It's on his ability to handle it. How will he handle it? And the mere fact that you say you think you can handle the locker room, how can he handle it? You got to have full confidence in his ability to handle it. And the best way for him to handle being the starter is not to have him look over his shoulder. That's why Belichick, in many ways, sent Cam Newton out of there. But Jimmy G can maybe is of a different makeup where he can sit there and watch the guy struggle and not say, I should be in there. I don't know if I'm ascribing an opinion to Cam that is unwarranted. Cam could have been able to do that. I guess the Patriots just thought better to just have it done, and we're going with Mac. That's it. And Lance does not have that luxury. You could sit here and say it's a lack of belief in the kid. It's tough to disagree with that. Very tough. Let's go to John in North Carolina. You're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, John?
Hey, how you doing, Rich?
What's going on?
As you brought up about the Trey Lance situation, of course, Jimmy G, being a good person that he is going to bring up that he should start. But I believe his teammates will. I believe all the guys that were there for them NFC Championship games and that Super Bowl run will. Especially if they start off 3-5, 2-6.
Mm. I don't think they're 2-6. I just don't think they're 2-6. And thanks for the call, John. I mean, put the schedule up again. They play the Rams twice in the first 8 weeks of the season, which is a bummer schedule-wise. And that's tough. But they've got games against Carolina, Atlanta, Chicago, and Seattle. They should win. And Denver, again, I still need to see it to believe it. I know that you keep saying to me that the Broncos, I mean, you even drafted Russell Wilson in your your fantasy, your must win fantasy league there. I love his ability. I need to see it. Kansas City. They go 4-4, 5-3. Or Lance just comes in and lights it up. He has that ability. He has that special ability. He does.
I mean, that schedule looks like 4-4 to me. Looks like 4-4 to me.
Chargers, Cardinals, and Saints right after the bye, too. God, I just at some point rip the Band-Aid off and go with him. And they might be doing that anyway, but having Garoppolo there, understanding he's the backup, and it's better to have him there than Seattle. But him being there is no question. Another hidden benefit that we're all focusing on is the dreaded door of doubt. Got to open it. Playing it by half measure. Again, John Lynch is kind enough to agree to come on this program later this week. I so look forward to talking to him about it. We've also invited Kyle Shanahan on this program. He's got an open invite. He's one of those guys.
Yeah.
Let's take a break. Our favorite BA, Bruce Arians, joining us here on the program. Super Bowl winning head coach of the Bucs and recent retiree. Coming on this program when we return on the Rich Eisen Show. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. I love this guy. Is he on? Yes, he is on. He is on. By the way, I'm going to see my cardiologist today.
Oh, nice.
And the reason why I bring it up is because this man is working with Novartis in the Coaching Cholesterol campaign, talking about heart health. Coaching Cholesterol. By the way, I guess I should ask him. Bruce Arians back here on the Rich Eisen Show on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line, the Super Bowl winning head coach. Coach, did you ever coach a guy named Cholesterol, or is this your first time coaching Cholesterol?
No, this is the first time I've coached Cholesterol, and I think he's got a chance to be a pretty decent player.
How does one coach Cholesterol? What do you got for me on that, Bruce?
First thing you do is go get a blood test and find out what your levels are and make sure they're good.
Mine
are
high.
If not, diet, exercise, and medication, brother.
Okay, brother. Very good. How's life? You look good. I saw you on TV making the rounds. You look good. How much weight have you lost, Bruce?
Since the Super Bowl, 52.
Ooh.
Wait a minute. Yeah. Is that the number? Is that the number of the Super Bowl you won, or that's the amount of weight that you lost? Wait a minute.
55 was Super Bowl. 52 was the weight. And
wow. Really?
So I'm trying to keep it off is the harder part.
I bet. That's incredible. Congratulations. Your wife must be thrilled. Your family must be thrilled you dropped 52 that.
Finally getting healthy.
Okay. Do you miss it? Do you miss the game, though? Do you miss coaching? Do you miss all that?
No. You know, I've got the best thing in the world, Rich, because I'm at practice every day.
Right.
And stand behind the quarterbacks like I always have, go in and watch the film with the offensive coaches, talk with Jason and John Spytek about the personnel, and I go play golf.
This sounds like being a grandparent. Like, you get to enjoy the baby, and then at the end of the day, you hand it back to the parent, right?
It is exactly like it. You know, I do the same thing with my grandson.
You enjoy the good stuff, and when it might not be the case, you're just like, here, you take him. It's over.
Oh, yeah. I learned one lesson. We were at Tennessee practicing against them, and, verbal abuse at a referee, and he threw a flag on me. So you're not the head coach anymore. So I guess I better in the press box.
Wait a minute. Hold on a second. You got a flag in a scrimmage? Is that what you're saying?
In practice, yeah.
You said a magic word, Bruce?
I think he's been waiting for like 4 years to get
Oh my God, that is hilarious. All right, let's talk about a few things, if you don't mind, about the Buccaneers and then your decision to step aside and when that happened, Coach, because I'm sure you've heard a lot of the conversation about why you stepped aside and how you and Brady didn't get along. I'm just going to jump right into that and give you the floor on your relationship with Tom Brady and things of that nature, Coach Bruce Arians.
Yeah, it's never been better. I mean, we been at practice now, and he's old enough now to ride off practice in the golf cart with me. He didn't have to walk off the field.
I like
it. We've got a great relationship, and it's never been soured.
And so your decision to retire came how, Coach? Walk me through that,
well,
if you don't mind.
It was, succession was huge for me, Rich. I watched the hiring cycle, wasn't real pleased with the way things went, and decided it was, time for Todd to take over. And Tom came back, which made it really easy because, he's got a great football team to coach and a great staff, and no better time for me. That was one of the most important. I want one of my guys to get that job. And ownership's been fantastic. Jason, everybody's been fantastic, and it's been working out great. And really, really love where the Bucks are right now.
So how do you advise when you say you're not your role, senior advisor to the GM? What is your advisory role? Walk me through that a little bit, Bruce Arians.
Just talking about hey, what are the best 53 players? What's the best practice squad guys? Who do you like? Who you like out of this guy? Why you like him? The same thing going into the draft. I thought we nailed the draft again this year. And Jason and I have a great working relationship that way. And then getting Todd in there and getting the same things. And I'm glad I'm out of town today because it's cut day and it's only like the worst day of the year.
Yeah, I bet so, and that's obviously what's going on in the NFL right now. So when it comes to that offensive line up front in front of Tom, it appears to be clearly banged up in the middle of it. What can you tell me about the severity of that situation right now?
Ryan Jensen's all-pro player. You don't just take those guys out of your lineup, but we drafted Robert Hainsey for that purpose, to have the next center ready to go. Think he's going to be a heck of a player. Same thing, Luke Getteke got him in there. But there's still battles, and we've got, I think, great depth. This is probably the deepest roster I've ever been on as far as quality depth. And so I have no concerns. I think those guys are going to play their tails off and be really solid.
Bruce Arians right here on the Rich Eisen Show, senior advisor to the GM, Super Bowl winning head coach, Super Bowl 55 of the Bucks right here on the Rich Eisen Show. If you wouldn't mind putting your old school role, or not so old school, but prior to you returning to coaching, role of analyst, football analyst on, if you wouldn't mind putting that on your head right now, your Kangol or however you want to put it.
Yeah.
The story that Jimmy Garoppolo has been re-signed by the 49ers as the backup quarterback to a kid in Trey Lance, who we all know the Niners gave a ton of draft capital to the Dolphins to go up and select. If you're Kyle Shanahan, how do you work that situation and its awkwardness potentially?
Yeah, I think John Lynch and Kyle both have great personalities, and they've talked this out. Jimmy wouldn't have done it if he wasn't all in. And it's hard for me to talk about another team's guys, but haven't been in that situation, so I can't really swear to it, but I think everybody's probably on the same page.
When you say talk it out, what does that mean? Again, I'm not asking you to suppose anything, but again, you've been in a ton of coaching situations and having to ascribe a plan to a player that they may or may not want to hear, but obviously Garoppolo decided. But when you say talk it out, do you literally say to a player, this is the way it's going to be, and you either agree to it or not? Is that how it works, Coach Arians?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, you got to be straight up honest because they can all see through all the BS. And, he and his agent, whoever it was, they had to all talk this out and decide, hey, this is best for me, best for the 49ers, let's go.
And so how does one handle a locker room? Again, you may not have been in a quarterback situation, but you know that you have definitely played young kids that you need to coach up, and there are veterans in the locker room that might look at you saying, why are we sticking with this young kid when we can go with a vet, right? Hasn't that happened?
Well, they obviously think the young guy is the guy. And from everything I hear, the players think so too. So I doubt there's any bad feelings in that locker room. I think they're all on the same page from what I hear. I'm just guessing.
No, I know. I'm just trying to, pick the brain of a Super Bowl winning head coach about how you handle a locker room in a situation like that, and a kid that you need to clearly coach up to speed faster than not, right? I mean, that's the issue in San Francisco.
Yeah, and he's not a rookie. I mean, he's seen it now for a year, and he's a talented guy.
So walk me through the decision you made a couple years ago in drafting Kyle Trask and his readiness, if this is, in fact, the final rodeo of Tom Brady, Coach Bruce Arians.
Yeah, we wanted to get a young quarterback. We all believed in Blaine Gabbert, but we wanted to get a young guy, start getting him ready. And I love Kyle's story. You know, he's a backup in high school, backup in college. And when he got his chance, and he lit it up. And big, strong guy, plays in the – he's mobile, but, I mean, he's not a runner. But love the way he looks downfield and the throws he made at Florida in big, big games. So he has all the tools. He couldn't be in a better situation to be sitting behind Tom and learning from Tom and Tom's preparation and Blaine knowing the offense inside and out. So there's no question for him not getting answered. And he got a ton of reps. This it was a really good for him this preseason.
You mean during Tom's time away from the team? That's where Kyle Trask got some serious.
Yeah, he got a ton of reps. And we had planned to play him in the preseason heavily anyway just to get him some action. And I thought he progressed greatly.
And Byron Leftwich, I know you told me a few years ago you were the one who basically got him into coaching. You said, I think you can do this job. And now look where he is and what positions you've placed him in. And obviously this is Todd Bowles' head coaching gig. But I assume when you said earlier that you didn't like the way the hiring cycle went this year, that Byron not getting a gig is part of all that. Do you think that he's ready this year? This could be his last year in Tampa, do you think, Coach Arians?
I'm pretty sure that if he's not a head coach next year, something's wrong. I mean, it checks every box. And I think some people would give Meek too much credit for what he has done in Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
And but he's done the whole – it's been his show since day one. The reason I got back into coaching because I could hire Byron. And I didn't have to do it. So had I not gotten Byron, I probably would have stayed out of coaching.
All right, Bruce. I know you got your a large amount of people tugging at you for your time today. So walk me through again what you're doing for Cholesterol Education Month. I have high cholesterol. I'm seeing my cardiologist today. I'm 53. And I, you know, my dad had heart problems and heart troubles. And I'm sure there's a lot of people who are listening to us right now and watching us right now that need some counseling on that. I'm going to get some more today. I'll turn the floor over to you on what you want to talk about here, Bruce.
Yeah, I think my big scare, Rich, you know, we played the Vikings in 2017. I came home upset, bad loss, middle of the night. You never want to wake your wife up at 3 in the morning and knock, you know, hey, we got to go to the hospital. Chest pains, the whole thing. And found out I had known heart disease, but it was bad cholesterol. And for me, that started a regimen of diet, exercise, and medication. And I think everybody needs a coach. And I needed a coach for my health. And so got with the doctors, and like you going today to get your blood work done. I just called a scorecard. Get a scorecard, keep up with it, especially people in stressful jobs. I mean, if you're stressed and bad cholesterol together, that's a silent killer. And so I want to make more awareness of especially going into September, which is Cholesterol Awareness Month, and do everything I can to make sure we save some lives.
Coach, send my best to your family, okay? If you're ever coming out here to L.A., I'd love to have you sitting in this chair next to me just to have a better eye-to-eye with you as opposed to over the phone. Always appreciate it.
No doubt, brother. It's always fun.
Right back at you, Bruce. That's Bruce Arians, the famed B.A., the head coach of the Super Bowl winners in Super Bowl 55 right here on the Rich Eisen Show. I guess he's the special advisor to the general manager, so he didn't want to talk about somebody else's team. But like I told you, him basically saying they talked it out. We sit here in the media and then the phone lines light and we're appreciative of that. And we'll take phone calls again in a second here. We sit here and go, how's that going to work? What's going to happen if? What happens when? How will it work? And the way it works in the NFL, and you just heard it from Bruce Arians as well, it's just, remember I told you it sounds so simple, and coaches boil it down to that. It's like, okay, we cut him, he winds up somewhere else.
Right.
And we've got a backup in Nate Sudfeld who we believe in, but can we win a Super Bowl with that guy? Nate Sudfeld, most famous, outside of, if I'm not mistaken, killing it for the Indiana Hoosiers, most famous for being the guy that Doug Peterson suddenly turned to in the fourth quarter of game 256 of his final year in Philadelphia when they were taking on the, at the time, Washington football team, I believe, was their name.
I think you're
and
right.
The Giants needed the Washington football team to lose in order to make the playoffs with a completely pedestrian record, if I'm not mistaken. That's the way things shook out. And they turned to Nate Sudfeld, sat Jalen Hurts, clearly not going to go with Carson Wentz, who was already benched. And everyone's like, well, what's that about? Peterson was gone within weeks. That's the Nate Sudfeld we're talking about. And he's the guy that's sitting there. Better than Nate Sudfeld, not on somebody else's team. He's staying with us. Much better backup plan in case. The question is, in case of emergency or in case of Lance not doing his gig? And a coach says, all right, Trey, we're going to keep Jimmy G. Hope you're fine with it. Need to be fine with it. Or do they even ask him, what do you think if we keep Jimmy? You fine with that? I don't think they give that latitude to the young kid. He's not Tom Brady. Hey, Tom, we're going to keep Jimmy G. You fine with that? That's how Jimmy's on San Francisco, apparently.
Right.
So they basically say to him, Trey, we're going to keep Jimmy. And hope you're fine with that. You're still our guy. You're our guy. We're going to let you. You got a lot of room for error and all that room for growth. You don't even talk about error with him. It could just be like, we're keeping Jimmy and hope you're fine with that. You're our guy. Jimmy, we've been talking to your agent. Apparently, you'd be up for this idea. We're up for it, too. But you're not the starter here. You have to understand that. You got to help Trey. You got to make sure he's the guy. You're a backup again. Remember what it was like against when you were with the Patriots, Tom Brady? That's where it's going to be here. So on one hand, they do not allow Trey Lance the ability to veto sticking with Garoppolo on the roster, like Tom Brady apparently got that veto.
But.
And on the other hand, they tell Jimmy Garoppolo that Trey Lance is kind of your Tom Brady again. You're not starting under any circumstance. You're the backup. You got to support the starter in the locker room.
Now what,
and
curious,
the quarterback room.
I wonder, maybe we should ask Kurt this. I'm wondering if Jimmy's going to be the number three and not dress. Like, are they paying him $6.5 million to just not go to Seattle, essentially?
No.
And he's going to be the number three guy.
No way. He's number two.
And Sudfeld's number two.
No way. No chance.
That way you eliminate the possibility of Lance has three or four bad drives in a row and the fans being like, put Jimmy in.
Or you don't pay him that money to not dress him.
Well, you're paying him to not go to Seattle. That's basically why you're paying him.
Right, but you're also paying him to put him in if Lance gets hurt. Can you imagine you do what you're saying? Your theory here, you're positing this idea.
Yeah.
And Lance goes down in the third quarter of a game. Jimmy G's dressed in pajamas with an earbud. And yeah. Sudfeld's the one who goes in there and struggles. And you paying Jimmy G the most money of any backup in the NFL. And he's not available because you needed to deactivate him for your starter psyche.
Why is he on the roster at all then?
Because you can manage the situation because you're the head coach of the San Francisco 49ers with an incredible pedigree and a huge reputation for being
I don't know if this is
a terrific coach.
Like Jimmy, then Jimmy's got to be like the greatest guy ever.
Kurt Warner was a guy who told Tom Coughlin, I almost saved us today, but I'm not saying I should be the starter. As a matter of fact, I'm counseling you to tell the media I'm not your starter. But he also said that Jimmy Garoppolo would absolutely accept a trade to a spot where he could be a starter rather than sitting on a bench somewhere.
All right, Kurt was 33 that year.
Jimmy G is right around that age? A little younger?
Jimmy G is 30.
There you go.
This is the business we've chosen.
Thank you, Mr. Roth. That's it. It's the business we've chosen. And we've chosen to tell you, Trey, we're keeping Jimmy, but you can't veto it like Tom Brady.
Don't suck.
And
like, you know what I mean? Like
Jimmy,
don't have any bad games or you're going to be, and then the fans are going to be calling the radio and then it's going to get a little tense around
the
here.
Radio. He doesn't care about the radio. He doesn't care about the radio. We do.
For a team that think can win the Super Bowl, this is just like weird.
This is what happens when you traffic in choosing a player in a top five of a draft. See, normally you do that because you've earned that spot because you suck.
No, you moved up.
But you're good enough and you moved up. And clearly the pressure is removed if Trey Lance just comes in and just crushes it, which I think he can. And he's got two opponents in the Bears and the Seahawks who just the other day we had a poll question of which team is more likely to be the number one overall drafting team.
Is it
Chicago or is it Seattle? You should beat them both.
They should.
You should go 2-0.
But if they don't.
Oh, boy.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, if they don't, then they've got a tougher decision on their hands. Their seat's not going to get hot. Jed York's not going to bounce these. These are two terrific coach general manager. I mean, as I said, if there's any coach general manager that could survive this decision, it's them. Especially since they've got a Super Bowl winning team. They could still win it all. I mean, they could win a wild card game in Dallas. Just checking to see if you're paying attention.
I am.
All right, we'll take a break.
Kyle Shanahan is 39-42. He is on the hot seat this year, man.
Not at all.
He is on the hot seat. This decision could cost him his job.
There's a seat, and he's definitely not on the one that is hot. Not at all. Dude,
Why are we worst case scenario in these Niners? Like, at worst, they should be 3-3 after six.
That's right.
And probably 4-2.
There you go.
So, you know, we're causing a commotion.
That's fine. That's a playoff spot.
Yeah.
If they lose both games to the Rams, Jimmy's going to start the second half of the year.
Dude, those Rams games are going to be lit. I know, right.
Because they should beat the Bears. They should beat Seattle.
What if Geno lights it up?
We don't know about the Broncos.
What if Geno lights it up? Or words he just said into a microphone. Let's take a break right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Phone calls.
What if he does, though? So?
Desmond Howard, right. Hour number three. What's he lighting up? With his four teams that he chose to make the college football playoffs. That's coming up. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, Kenny Pickett just got drafted.
Did he really?
Hey, yeah, by Joey Kenny Stacks. Pickett.
Okay, so we've got four more picks left to go in the fantasy league that started at this very moment on Thursday.
Geno's available.
This could last 8 more hours, potentially.
This could potentially last 8. Rich, you should drag it out.
I chose Mac Jones as a quarterback.
I saw that.
Well, because I have Josh Allen. He's going to be my best point total guy every week.
Yeah.
And he's got a bye week. I looked at in week 7, Mac Jones is a Monday night at home against the Bears. And I'm like,
TJ, we have easily the two best quarterbacks in the league.
I think when you look at the team,
we have Lamar and Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Why would you do that?
Why wouldn't we do that?
What do you mean?
We get so to,
what
we
if,
get
the what best if one point. Guy has 40 and then the next guy has 38? Guess what? We have the guy with 40.
That's how that works, right?
I guess.
What do you mean?
Or you could have another player that's going to do, you know, be more active for you.
By the way, we didn't draft Rodgers that early. Okay. So,
you know. Rodgers was slipping, so we just snagged some value.
Slipping and falling and can't get up.
Oh, dream team.
Chrome Soft has the best tour performance for every type of performance. These golf balls are amazing, and they're for everyone. Doesn't just make the best players better, it's made everyone better. Men, women, first-time major winners, repeat major winners, club champions, business golfers, hackers like myself use the Chrome Soft, the regular Chrome Soft. More distance, better field, incredible forgiveness. If I feel the difference, you can. Certainly if you're better than me, which likely is the case. Chrome Soft X provides excellent spin consistency, tour level, short game control. Chrome Soft XLS, a lower spin golf ball, longer shots, firmer feel, still a high spin around the greens. When you add it all up, it's so simple. Chrome Soft is better for the best and better for everyone. Find out which Chrome Soft is right for you at CallawayGolf.com/ChromeSoft.
Let me ask you this. I'm looking at the defenses, right? There's something called ghost defense. Now, is that just...
What does that mean?
I have no idea.
Is that like ghost protocol?
Ghost runner?
No idea.
I don't even know what that means.
Ghost face killer?
Steven in St. Louis. Let's take his phone call. What's going on, Steven? You there, Steven?
Oh, hey, guys.
My bad.
What's going on?
I know it's not a football-related question.
It doesn't matter. It's all sports, yeah. Entertainment. It's go for
good.
It.
It's all good. Kurt Warner, I guess, was quarterback here in 01, but that was also the same year a rookie started. And this is a fun stat. On August 29, 2001, that same rookie hit a home run. Serena Williams won a round at the U.S. Open. Bo Bichette, Craig Biggio, and Vlad Guerrero Sr. all had a hit. Last night, that same rookie hit home run 694. Serena Williams won a round at the U.S.
Open. Unbelievable.
And all the listed players' kids had a hit for Toronto.
And that's Albert Pujols was that guy. Oh, yes. Unbelievable night.
Albert. Yeah, and I mean, 450 different individual pitchers. And so obviously, that's something to watch on my end. But just to link it back with another player in your neck of the woods for your hometown team, Aaron Judge, hit home run number 50.
I know. I saw it.
And so, obviously, there's two home run chases going on right now. But
Nick Wright, it's amazing. Yeah. Thanks for the call. You got Pujols going for 700, and you got Judge trying to chase down Roger Maris, who was the last player in Major League Baseball to have 50 home runs before September. Roger Maris is the last guy to do it.
Roger Maris.
51 when the calendar turned to September, and Judge has two more days to match it or surpass it.
I think he's going to get to 62 for sure.
Oh, God. What a night in Anaheim, or should I say Los Angeles? I'll tell you what, the traffic to get down to Anaheim from Los Angeles County, it didn't feel like L.A. to get all the way down there. But Susie and I took all three kids down to Angel Stadium last night, and I was driving down with them, and I'm like, Aaron Judge could hit his 50th. Cooper knows that already. Xander and Taylor needed a little bit of a primer on it, and I'm like, we could see history tonight, which is very few people hit 50 home runs in a season. I mean, it's happened, but it hasn't happened in a while, and certainly not for the Yankees, and certainly it's Aaron Judge. And before Judge hit his 50th, Ohtani went yard.
Just kind of reached out and
dude,
slapped it.
Frankie Montas put one on the outer edge, and it made Ohtani's back leg buckle a little bit, and then he basically one-armed it out.
Yeah, why?
And it was a no doubt about her either, too. And so when Ohtani was... hit that, he broke a scoreless tie, and it was a 2-2 tie. The reason why it was a tie game is because Phil Nevin, the interim manager of the Los Angeles Angels, intentionally walked Aaron Judge not once but twice, much to the dismay.
How many Yankee fans were all there, and I
was livid, I was pissed. Susie was like, you gotta, you know... And she knows Phil from back in the day of covering. She's like, you gotta talk about it. And I'm like, I said I would normally do that, but I said it was cool for Aaron Boone to intentionally walk Miguel Cabrera in front of all the Tiger fans earlier this year when he was sitting on 500 career home runs, right?
Right. Or was it 3,000
hits? I need to be consistent. Was it 3,000 hits?
I think he was going for 3,000.
I forget what it was. It was a huge milestone, and I'm like, yeah, you should intentionally walk him. He's got to win a game. And here I am saying, damn it. But it sucked. There I was with my whole family and my kids, and I'm like, intentional walk twice. And they were confused, too, because now, you know, they don't throw the pitches. It's just Phil Nevin. And Phil Nevin, the second time, just, like, waved his hand, just, like...
Yeah, just like...
Just like, get him out of here. Yeah, please, get him out. Let's just put him on first, all right? Pissed with this whole thing. And then the Yankees pitched to Ohtani. They should have done him the same damn favor. And then Judge hits the next... He finally gets pitched to because they're up by two. And it doesn't matter if he homers. They still have the lead. And he, it was no doubt, it hit the rocks too. Where my kids were wondering, like, do people hit the rocks? I'm like, they can. And then he did.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, unreal. Incredible night. Judge hits 50 and Ohtani, one arms, one out. And Trout was remarkable, too. I told my kids, that's a really nice night at the ballpark.
Eisenpalooza.
It was Eisenpalooza. Thank you. It was. And so that was, and Yankees lost it. Oswaldo Cabrera had a shot to put the Yankees up with two outs, two strikes in the ninth, and he hit one ticketed for the gap, right center field, and Trout glided under it. He had to have run about 30 yards and just glided under it. I screamed, like, yes, that's a home run, and we got out of our seats, and I'm like, oh, Trout's going to run this down. I literally said those words. And then he didn't run it down. He just, whoop.
So good.
He's so good.
When healthy, man.
Three incredible baseball players in one stadium last night.
Okay, so Stanton hit 59 back in 2017.
Last guy to do that, right?
Well, he's had the most since 2001. So Bonds broke the record 73 in 2001. Sosa hit 64 that year as well.
Yeah.
Now, if Stanton gets past 61, do you consider him the home
Judge
run king?
Judge you're talking about.
Judge, yeah. If Judge gets 62, is he the home run king?
I mean, does it matter?
Kind of.
Does it?
Kind of does. I don't know. That stuff matters to me.
It's just amazing what he's doing.
It'd also just really suck if he hits 62, AL record, Yankee record, and then leaves.
Okay.
He slid that one in.
Okay.
I mean, it'd be too bad for you guys.
He's going nowhere.
What are you
going
to do?
He's going nowhere.
Wow.
He's going nowhere. He goes nowhere except back to the Bronx.
When the Giants visit in June next year?
Nope. Oh. Nope. No.
Because he's from Northern California?
No, I know. It's great.
All right.
It's great. He got a chance to say hi to all the friends when they were up in Oakland. You can wave. You can wave. He's going nowhere. Going nowhere. It's just amazing. He's so much bigger than, like, he's just...
He's bigger than Gronkowski.
He's just...
And he plays baseball.
He's just a superhero.
Yeah. Rich, you're up. Sorry.
He's a superhero.
Paul Rudd just picked the Panthers defense. So you're up.
That was and Ohtani, too, by the way. Ohtani, too.
Ohtani's not a little dude, man.
Ohtani, too. Ohtani's they put a stat on the scoreboard. I guess he did this. Did he do this last week against the Blue Jays? First player ever to have 10 or more strikeouts in a game, two runs batted in, and a stolen base in the same game.
I mean,
it's just it makes no sense.
Yeah, he's so good.
I saw a stat that I think Ohtani leads the Angels in at bats and innings pitched. Or something crazy.
That's awesome.
Something crazy.
That's
like
awesome.
That.
Sure. And by the way, is outstanding at both. Not just doing it just because he can, but he is gold standard at both.
Also bigger than you think.
I can't
he's
wait.
He's like 6'4". He's huge.
I know. So you're like, what's going to happen when Judge comes in as a giant?
Right.
I'll just flip the script and say Judge will just look to his left.
And see Ohtani.
And see Ohtani
in
stripes next to him.
He'll see him in
get
stripes.
Get ready for that, pal.
And in New York, but it won't be on the Yankees.
Uh-huh. Stripes?
Stevie Cohen?
I will.
Let me tell you something.
Axe Capital's billions?
We have the guy who brought him to the Angels, and he's on the Mets. Come on. It's already written. The story's already written.
Stop
written,
it. Fellas.
Fun night at the ballpark.
Let's go Mets.
Bottom line is, we can have this conversation. He's in the toilet.
It's August the 29th, 30th.
You know, it's my daughter's ninth birthday.
Nine. Oh, that is birthday, insane.
Taylor's nine.
For the real story behind some of wrestling's biggest moments, it's Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard and Conrad Thompson, too.
All-time Hogan opponents, Macho Man's got to be in the conversation. Where's Andre for you?
I've always said Andre was number one.
Wow.
Because even going back before, you know, Hulk Hogan was a babyface, Hulk and Andre were able to go in and headline at the New Orleans Superdome, at Shea Stadium in Japan. Wherever they went, that was an attraction.
Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.